Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I look up from the ground to see your sad and teary eyes. You look away from me and I see there's something you're trying to hide. And I reach for your hand but it's cold, you pull away again. And I wonder what's on your mind.
Hi, I'm Dom Alessio and this is Other Side of the Tracks. Each episode we feature a new release and talk to the artist about the inspiration, meaning and stories behind each song. In this episode, we take a look at A Place We Knew, the debut album from Dean Lewis. The journey started in 2016, when he had initial success with his first release, Waves. But it was one song, which showcases his knack for turning everyday language into beautiful poetry, that catapulted him around the world. In 2018, Lewis released his song Be Alright. It's been streamed more than 500 million times, and now he's a recognisable voice across Europe, the US, and Australia. A Place We Knew is a stunning collection of songs, written in numerous locations with numerous producers over the last few years. But what really ties his debut album together is a central theme that focuses on Lewis's bittersweet memories of past relationships. Here is A Place We Knew by Dean Lewis.
Doesn't matter, put the phone away. It's never easy to walk away. Let her go, it'll be okay. It's gonna hurt for...
If I could take the listener anywhere to listen to the album, it would be to like a suburban house in the Hollywood Hills. I love the feeling of there's something in the air. I know it's quite polluted and stuff like that, but the way that the sun shines on through the pollution makes the place seem golden. You'd hear the cars driving by, the birds and all that stuff, and the green grass, because the grass in America is just so green. And I mean, this ties in with the album, I guess, is I picture that place as I call it A Place That I Knew, or as the album's called, A Place We Knew. And the reason I called it that is because it's like when you drive past a house that you used to live in with your ex and all the memories are still there, but you've sort of moved on and so is she. It's this like bittersweet feeling.
I told you to go left and I went right. Ooh, I told you that I loved you. You couldn't tell I was lying, cause I put a spell on you. But I put my eyes on you for the last time.
Some of the songs were written 5 years ago. I think For the Last Time was actually the first song I ever wrote that wasn't terrible. And I remember showing my friends and family, and actually when I listened to it thinking this kind of, you know, I'm happy to play this from start to finish on acoustic guitar and it feels good. To more recently, maybe like 6 months ago with a song called A Place We Knew and Time to Go, songs that I wrote, you know, relatively recently. And the recording kind of took place over a maybe 2 year period. You know, for instance, I started recording Be Alright 2 years ago, ended up recording that 4 different times. 7 minutes was a little bit after that, but I was working on 7 minutes up until basically 3 weeks before it came out, before I had to hand it in. A lot of the songs I would work with the producer when we recorded it, and then I would get home and in Australia, and I'd bring in this guy called Dylan Nash, this Australian producer, and who sort of co-produced the whole album and with me, and we'd kind of like just sit there and just redo things and add things and kind of tie things together. So even though these songs were recorded, you know, in England, in Hitchin, and some in Los Angeles, and some in Australia, we kind of brought them all together and would just keep working on them again and again and again until there was that thread and they felt right. When I released a song of mine called Waves, it was, you know, quite successful in Australia, and it sort of enabled me to work with lots of different producers, and I started getting these big names kind of thrown at me, and I ended up going to America and recording Be Alright with this massive, amazing producer. For whatever reason, it didn't work out for me. So I basically went back to the guys that I really trusted, which was Nick and Ed, Nick Atkinson and Ed Holloway. And we sort of went back to the drawing board on recording some of the songs. And I had a really good relationship with those guys. I can be super honest. Like, I can just say, I don't like that, you know, and they can say to me, you can do that better. Whereas when sometimes you have you don't have that relationship, you sort of spend a lot of time being nice to each other, or you're not vibing on each other or whatever. And so they were really good. I also worked with a guy called John Castle down in Melbourne, who was incredible. Really loved the stuff he'd done in the past. And we went down there and recorded for a few days. And then Dylan Nash, who's kind of, I guess, even though he's not credited on everything, he produced a song of mine called Hold of Me on the album, and he mixed another song, but he kind of has got co-production and additional production on a bunch of songs. But he was sort of almost the most instrumental because of what he brought to everything and bringing everything together. And I met him doing this acoustic live performance of Waves that we put on YouTube, and he was the audio guy there and reminded me of Ed Holloway in the UK. And I'd always wanted someone in Australia who was as good as Ed, because, you know, it's hard, the time differences. Ed was super busy with stuff. So sometimes, you know, I'd be like, oh, can we work on this? And, you know, Ed being busy would be like, okay, I can do that in, you know, a couple of days. But the way that I'm so ADD, I sort of wanted it then. And so having Dylan who was just as good, was really helpful. And he was very instrumental in how things sounded, and I really trust him. He's sort of like the right-hand man on the album.
I forgot to love you, love you, love you. I forgot to love you, love you, love you.
All the songs are mastered by, actually, Joe LaPorta, but there's two EP tracks who we got mastered by, no, one EP track by Steve Smart in Australia. So we just used Chemicals.
I fell in love with the chemicals.
We got Chemicals from the EP and decided to put that on the track, the album, because it's a fan favorite. And I'm really proud of the song, and sort of no one's heard it yet, if you think of comparatively to the potential of the future. But Steve Smart mastered that, and Joe LaPorta mastered everything else, I believe. He even remastered Waves, because I wanted Waves to feel like it felt too, like it didn't feel like the same dynamic as the rest of the album. So I just got it remastered, and it feels like it sits better.
And all these little things, they start to fade away.
And in regards to what I work on and continue to work on throughout the process, from initial recording to the final version, it's non-stop. Like, it's, you know, with 7 minutes, I was, you know, adding different kinds of drums right up until the last kind of few weeks, and adding guitars. And in a song like Straight Back Down, I changed the second pre-chorus lyrics because I thought they were a bit cheesy. And so it's constantly changing things, but also a lot of the time I'll know when it's really good, and I'll, like, when I can play an acoustic guitar and it feels right, I'll try not to change it too much, because I actually have this massive loss aversion thing. I think if something's great, I'm very scared to mess with it, but I've had to sort of dive into that, and maybe half the time I've learned that you can actually make things better, and the initial inspiration doesn't necessarily mean it's the best. Track listing was very stressful. I wanted to start with Hold of Me because I thought, you know, it really matched my personality, in the sense that I'm quite ADD, and I just wanted, like, I'm kind of, when I do something, I just kind of get straight into it. And I thought that song has no intro and it's really a good start. Then I sort of wanted, the way that I wanted to shape it was, I wanted to kind of have some of the bigger songs up front in the first half. It's quite intense. And then at the end, it sort of starts to chill out a little bit. It just felt right for me. I didn't want to go slow, fast, slow, fast. I really played around with the arrangement a lot of the tracks. And then when I finally had something that felt right, I just sort of went, that's it. That sounds good to me. And just never thought about it again.
Walking slowly, trying to find a place to go. You begin to talk about your ex and the way that he would lose control. And all your friends are trying to throw me. They're asking questions I don't know. But baby,
so the first track is Hold of Me, and it was one of the more, I guess, newer songs, or like the latter songs that I finished on the album. I was staying in a beach house that my publishers owned, and it was late at night. It was about 12 o'clock and I had to go and work with Dylan the very next day. Dylan Nash is an amazing producer and I had no ideas. And so I was up at night. My girlfriend at the time was next to me and I had my guitar, and it was about 12 o'clock, I think, at night when the initial riff came to me in the kind of start, which was the walking slowly part. And I sort of started fleshing it out, and I sort of, my girlfriend was like, at the time was like half awake, and I was like, hey, listen to this. And then went in the next day and was like, hey, Dylan, have a listen to this song. And we just basically recorded it, chucked in this really cool horn section. Cause I really was into the idea of, I like dance music, but I don't like the dance music production in my stuff. So I wanted to have like a big build into this big drop. And so I thought horns was a really good way to do that. So yeah, and it's sort of become one of my favorite songs on the album. It's kind of different to the other songs because it's more about me saying to someone else, like, don't worry, you know, like, you're going to be okay, you got to trust me. And the idea is that this girl is really hurting the song. And yeah, and it's turned out to be one of my favorite songs. I decided to choose for it to be the first song on the album because I thought it matched my personality in the sense of, like, just straight in, like, no intro. Just straight, the first word, walking, as soon as you push play, comes on. And I'm really proud of the song and the production and how it turned out.
Now since I lost my way, it doesn't seem like long, but my whole world has changed.
7 minutes was kind of a bit of an exception for the album, and just in regards to everything I've ever done, because we recorded a few songs that day in Hitchin with Ed Holloway and Nick Atkinson, and there was this other song that I'd written that I thought was really good, and I didn't really think much of 7 minutes. In fact, it was really stressful to work on it because it just wasn't working. And for whatever reason, we finished recording it. And then about a month and a half later, I was in Los Angeles living at the time. I don't really remember exactly what for, but I got the songs back from the producer, from Ed, and I just went for a walk and I was listening to them, and I went to the song that I thought was going to be great. And I listened to it and was like, well, that's really underwhelming. I didn't get any feeling from it. And I was really disappointed. And then I pushed play on 7 minutes, the next one, and was like, whoa, and was super blown away because whenever I'd done a song before, I generally know if it's going to be good or not, just because I have a instinct about it. This song's going to be great. Like, you know, it's happened a few times, like A New Be Alright was a great song. I just couldn't get the recording right. Whereas this one, I didn't really think much of the song at the time. So when I heard it and it blew me away, yeah, it made me feel really excited. And I was like, where did this come from? And then I basically took it over to Dylan and we just kept working on it and adding little things and bits and pieces. And then we sent it to a mixer called Dan Grech. I mess up his name, but he's one of the best mixers in the world. And he'd mixed a couple of my previous songs on my EP, like Waves. And he sent it back and it just sounded so amazing. And then that was the song that was the second single from my album.
Cause we were hanging out in the parking lot. Now I sink a little deeper, think a little clearer, looking at myself.
But there's another interesting story about that song, which was that the chorus of that song, which is it too late to turn around?
Is it too late to turn around?
I'm already halfway out of town.
I'm already halfway out of town.
Was a line that just came into my head when I was in England, and I'd had this argument with this girl that I was seeing, and I was in an Uber, and the line just popped into my head. And when I got home, that sort of became the chorus. And that's only happened a couple of times. The only other time it happened that I can think of now is for one of the songs that closed the album called For the Last Time. And that was for that song as well. The chorus for that just popped into my head when I was walking in like a parking lot, like a garage. And it's very lucky when that happens.
I forgot to love you.
I can picture you now, taking your makeup off. You come into my room and you kiss my lips. But this hotel life, I'm not used to it.
A Place We Knew is one of my favorite songs on the album, and I ended up calling it A Place We Knew, even though it doesn't say that in the song, because I wanted to call the album A Place We Knew. And the name fit the song. I was going to call it Your Heart Is My Home, but because that's like, I guess, the chorus lyric, but it didn't really fit the song, and I didn't really like the name. It felt a bit generic or something like that. This was an interesting song because I was singing about basically when I released Waves, I spent the next year living out of hotel rooms, and it was quite a strange experience because I'd been with this person and I'd spent so much time away, and I was writing about things that we'd done, like how she always saw the best in me, and you know, after a gig, her taking her makeup off. And she actually said to me the line, I can't take credit for this, but she said to me, "Your heart is my home."
Your heart is my home.
So I was like, that's amazing. And used it in the song, which is the chorus. But I got to the end of the song and I thought it was too happy. And so I threw in the second verse bit, which is, "But when I walked through the door and I saw your face..."
My world had changed. How can I live my life since you've been and gone?
And that was like the flip of like, I've been away for so long, and now that I can tell that it's over. And then the song started feeling like it meant something. And I think for me, that's why I never just write like a happy, happy, happy song. If I do write a happy song, there's got to be some little twist in there, because it just makes it mean something. But it's a song that I'm really proud of. We got a guy called Michael Brower to mix it in the USA, and he just makes things sound warm and classic. And we use lots of different mixes for like all the different tracks, because me and Mike, my A&R guy, we do research on like, this song is like in the ballpark of this song, and I love what they did with it. So let's get that sound. And I'm big into references and stuff like that with like, in regards to like which the drums should be as nice as they are in this song, or it should sound as warm, the vocal should sound warm or be as dry or raw as this guy. And I always find the guys that did that, and so they can do the same on mine. Do you know what I mean? So and I usually get a better result as opposed to just going, here's the song, do what you want. You know, the inner control freak in me would hate that. So and when we got the tracks back from Michael Brower after he mixed it, it was amazing. It blew my mind. And yeah, it's one of my favorite songs, A Place We Knew. Stay Awake is an interesting song. It's a bit different because it's got like a groove to it, which is not like my other songs. Like, none of my songs have groove in them. They're pretty straight. And I had this riff, this dun 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 dun, and automatically melody started flowing over that. The weird thing about this song is it actually sounds like the happiest song on the album. It sounds super happy, but if you listen to the lyrics, it's probably the saddest song, because it's about the feeling of, you know, wanting to be with someone who doesn't want to be with you, which is probably the saddest moment and the saddest thing, one of the saddest things you can do, because you can't hold on when someone's not really interested in you. And the production of this one, it was a long journey for this song, almost like Be Alright. The demo was quite like, it was very quick and it had this kind of disco beat to it and didn't sound like me at all. So it's one of the songs I ended up, when I was in Hitchin, recording, I think 7 minutes at the time, I showed Nick Atkinson and Ed, the producers, Stay Awake, the demo, and they were like, "Ooh, that doesn't sound like you." And I was like, "Yeah, it doesn't sound like me," but it felt so far in the other direction, I wasn't sure we could bring it in. And we basically redid the song and we changed the riff. We thought, oh, the riff's too, like, you know, just not right. And we changed it, and then it was terrible. And then we just went, you know what, we're just going to start from the ground up. And it still just didn't sound right. And I kept like pushing the producer, Ed, going, these drums don't feel right. And then he goes, okay, just give me 10 minutes. And we came back in, and then the drums started sounding amazing, and it started sounding raw, because I wanted it to sound really like in a room like not like the Lumineers, but some like the feeling that they have in their songs. I sort of was like, well, if we can get a little bit of that, the song's going to sound credible, because I didn't want it to sound cheesy or anything like that. So we kept working on it, and eventually it sounded great. Then we sent it off to Spike Stent, this incredible mixer, one of the best mixers in the world. Like probably he's insane. Like I work with a lot of big name people, but I've never worked with a big name person who is legitimately a magician and who can make a song sound unbelievable from like the demo to the finished mix. The difference is what he does to the songs, and the vocal and the production is, he makes it like twice as good. But then once again, to the disappointment of everyone around me, I was like, no, it's still not right. And I took it back to Dylan, and we added these timbale sort of drums into the choruses. We added some nylon string guitar. We re-recorded the second verse, because it used to, the first verse and the second verse, actually the second half, and they both have the same lyric, and I felt like it wasn't growing. So I sung the second verse in a higher octave. So when it goes, they say the bigger the love, the harder the fall. That used to be low octave, but I went up to, now I'm crashing through the floor. And all of a sudden that second verse felt different to this first verse, and it felt like it was building. And that's what I always want out of a song. I want it to continue to build. And and it ended up coming out really amazing. We sent it back to Spike, and he kept, he just added all the things. And it's probably going to be, it's probably the song I'm most excited about, that and Hold of Me, I think. And I can't wait for it to come out. I guess that the idea of Stay Awake With Me is, it's not like literal, I guess. It's like the idea of, I guess it's like a, and I don't use a lot of metaphors in my songs, but I guess it's like the idea of stay awake with me, as in give me another chance. That's the meaning behind it. And I guess that's why I worked on the production so hard, because I wanted the production and the feeling of the production to influence what people took from it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There is a swelling storm, and I'm caught up in the middle of it all.
Yeah, Waves. I wrote the song about kind of trying to get the feeling of excitement and youth back. And in a weird way, the song brought all this excitement back into my life and sort of opened all these doors and enabled me to do what I'm doing now, which is really cool. And I owe a lot to this song. It was a song that when I finished recording it, I put my phone up to the speaker and I pushed record. And before I left Hitchin with Nick and Ed, and I jumped on the train back to London, and I was listening to the crappy version on my iPhone, and I messaged my manager saying, I think we just recorded something really special. And so I knew right away it was good. Showed my brother Sean, and Sean thought it was, you know, he's always been like a good barometer, and he was like, this is a tune. And, you know, we actually thought this song was done when it was like a demo. We were just like, it's done. But I met Dan Grech, this incredible mixer, and we were talking about working together, and I was talking to him about potentially producing Be Alright, because he's a producer and a mixer, which never ended up happening. But he goes to me, hey, I heard the demo of Waves. He goes, that's a demo, right? And I go, no, that's the final version. And he goes, please let me work on the drums, please. And I'm like, but it sounds amazing. Like, you know, I was like, what are you talking about? And then we just let him have it. We're like, sure, go, dude, you know, work on it. And he sent it back, and he made my voice sound amazing. He made the drums sound epic. Like, it just was it was night and day difference. And if you listen to the demo version now, which was going to be the version, it doesn't hold a candle to it. So very lucky that he came into my life and reworked that. I mean, we'll mix the song for me. And yeah, the song obviously opened a lot of doors, and I decided that I should put on the album because I think I owe it to the song to potentially, because so many, hopefully, if everything goes well, a lot of people are going to hear the album, and they wouldn't have heard Waves. So I think it's a good song for them to hear. So Be Alright is a song that completely changed my life.
I look up from the ground to see your sad and teary eyes. You look away from me.
I used to say that about Waves, but this was on a whole new scale. It was worldwide. Didn't expect that. And I wonder what's on your mind. Although I knew the song was good because I would play it to people live, and people would always come up to me and be like, "What was that song about the phone?" Like, that's awesome. And it was, I never had that, like, so much about one song, and people seemed to connect with it more. I wrote it about seeing a message on my ex-girlfriend's phone, but also about a bunch of, like, relationships that my friends and family had had and some crazy things they'd told me, and I sort of combined it all into this song. And it was actually the hardest song to record. I recorded it 4 times, and in the end what I did was I went back to Nick and Ed again, and we basically took it up a key, and I was staying in my brother's apartment, and was trying to figure out why the chorus never felt like a chorus. And that's when I decided to take it up a key. And all of a sudden, it just popped.
And my friend said, I know you love her, but it's over, mate. It doesn't matter, put the phone away.
My register of the vocal sort of matched the intensity of the emotion of the song. And it's really rare. Most songs you can build up with production, but this song, it was all about the voice and all about the vocal recording. So we just recorded it so many times and tried to get it right. And after like 2 years after writing it, I finally recorded it properly, and we were like, this is the version.
Love you're born to find, but nothing heals the past like time.
They can't steal the love you're born to find.
And they can't steal the love you're born to find.
I guess that's the, it's probably the only lyric in the song that's not direct. It's like a bit, make your own mind up what you think about it. Do you know what I mean? I guess the idea is that there's always someone out there, and it's like, because the song is quite hopeful, strangely, is what a lot of people, I guess you hear the song, it's quite sad, but there's also a lot of hope in it, because it's like your friends surrounding you saying, you know, you'll be all right, and, you know, you'll be fine. And I guess that's another part of the song that's quite hopeful, saying that there's someone out there for you. If you're worried, don't worry, it's you'll find it.
It'll be alright, it'll be alright. It'll be alright, it'll be alright. I fell in love with the chemicals. I used to pray for a miracle, but now I know that it's all over.
Chemicals is a song that I recorded with John Castle. We actually recorded like 4 songs in 5 days, and this was one of them. Recorded it down in Melbourne. He just moved into this new studio, and it's kind of a weird time. Like, we were recording so much stuff, it was hard to keep track of if it was good or not. But this is like one of the oldest songs that I'd written on a road trip, and I'd kind of had it for a few years. All the lyrics in this song sort of, in a weird way, flew down, like one of the super lucky moments where I guess I hadn't entered that second stage of my songwriting where I like knew that I could actually sort of craft lyrics into whatever meaning I wanted. I was still just kind of writing just what came down, and like, oh, that sounds good, that's it. And luckily, every 1 in 100 times you do that, you get a song that's actually good and it makes sense just by almost statistically, you know, because the 99 other times are going to suck. And this song just worked, and I recorded it with John, and then we got it mixed by Ed, and it just had a feeling, and I decided to put it on the album because it's kind of like, it sort of became a fan favorite. My fans really like it and they always sing along, and I thought I owe it to the song again to put this on there, and it just fit really well. I guess it's one of the songs that I'm most proud of on the EP, and I'm happy that it's made the album.
This feeling was surely kind of lost, so I took it away. I took it away, away from you.
Straight Back Down is kind of, I guess, the dark horse, because I've never played it live and not many people have ever heard it. And it's kind of like, I guess, a sneaky little potential single, even though I don't know if it will be because there's other ones in front of it. But in another life, I feel like this could have been like the lead single off the album, which is kind of weird. I almost feel like it's a bit of a waste to put it out like this because I'm so proud of it. I think it's such a big song, but I just don't know if it's going to get a massive light, because the other songs are sort of going to be a few, there's a few songs ahead of it.
But the way you look brings me straight back down. I don't want to wake you up right.
But it's a song that I was with my ex-girlfriend, and we were staying at this place called The Brilliant Building that my publishers used to own. It's been knocked down now, maybe a year and a half ago. And I was trying to impress her. No, actually, it was probably 2 years ago, and I was trying to impress her, and I had my guitar, and she was recording on her phone because I had this good idea. And I said to her, my phone had died. And I said, oh, could you record this on your phone? And I had this thing, I had the verses, you know, I find it hard to sleep when, and all that stuff. And then I had this, I had this riff that was going, dun, 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 dun. And then I was going to record a song with Nick and Ed. They booked me in a week, and I was like, I don't have any songs. And I was telling her, and she goes, no, you have this one. And I'm like, what song? She goes, remember when we were hanging out, I recorded it on my iPhone. And she sent it to me, and I was like, that's what we're recording tomorrow. So it's a song that wouldn't exist if she didn't remind me of it. I'm glad she did, because it's turned out to be one of my favorite songs. And it's weird because it has this low vocal register. I sing very low, and then probably the highest I've ever sung before. As we go into the chorus, it hits this like, I don't want to wake you up right now. And it's so hard to sing that live. I think we're going to have to try to bring the key down, because I just don't want to lose my voice every night because there's so many shows I've got to do. So that's, I'm really not looking forward to playing that live because it's so taxing. But I can't wait for people to hear it, especially at festivals, because, yeah, I think it's going to do really well at festivals. So Time to Go was a song that I started writing in the Sunset Marquee maybe like six to 9 months ago. And I had a night off in New York once, and I had a little bit of the riff, this awesome riff that just came out of nowhere. And I was so excited about it because as soon as I started playing it, I was like, I hadn't done anything like this before. And melodies just started appearing. And so I had a night off in New York, and I was staying at this place called the Nomo Soho Hotel. And they had these tiny little rooms, and I was like, I have a night off. I'm not leaving, because I hadn't written a song in a while. I'm not leaving this room until I finish this song. And I basically just stayed in there and finished it. And then the next day I went to like a rehearsal space and was like playing it. I was like, and then I started playing it at shows acoustically, but I didn't have the bridge. And then on one of my Australian tours, we were sound checking for a gig, and I was showing the guys the song. I was like, hey, listen to this. And then all of a sudden, the bridge just popped into my head. I won't let you down.
No, I won't let you down.
And I just was like, hey guys, 1 second. I pushed record on my iPhone and like just sung the bridge. And it built up into this epic finale. And I was like, oh, this is cool. So I finished it. And that and A Place We Knew, I recorded the demos on my iPhone and sent them to Dan Hume. I'd always wanted to work with him as a producer. And we went down to Byron Bay and recorded at a place, I think it was in Mullumbimby. It's this epic studio on like this field. And it kind of looks like Jurassic Park. And went down with him, and we just recorded them in a week, or like 4 days. And it was a really cool experience. It was just like, you know, beach vibe. Just like, you know, like not many people around. When we'd go back and stay on this beach house where he was staying, he's like, I had a spare room there, and it was really cool. And it's turned out to be one of my favorite songs. I wanted to keep it very raw, And we did a couple of mixes where a lot more reverb and it was all more spacey. I'm like, no, 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 we got to peel it all back. So it's really raw. And it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
You're stuck in my mind. I'm trying my best to say my goodbyes. Oh, oh, I think it's time to go. I think it's time to go. Don't hold me, 'cause I am falling back down, and I wouldn't wanna see you hit the ground.
So Don't Hold Me is a song that actually I recorded for my EP with John Castle, but it just didn't sound right. Like, the production wasn't right. There were some vocal things that didn't feel right. And when we released Waves, we were kind of rushed to put out stuff. And I had this other song called Let Go, so I ended up putting that on the EP, which was sort of a demo as well, but it was just sort of a song that I wanted to... I really liked Don't Hold Me. I had it for a long time, and I thought, I'm happy to put Let Go on, but I want to, you know, work on Don't Hold Me. And so I ended up taking it in with Nick and Ed. They added one or two things. Then when I got back to Australia, I took it in with Dylan Nash, which is kind of weird because, like, it's such a simple song, but it's probably got the most names of producers on it just because of how I work. And Dylan added a bunch of different drums. We redid some vocal things, and then I got him to mix it. And he did a really good job. Like, you know, the people who mix this album are, like, very big names in America and England, like some of the best guys in the world. And I had a lot of faith in Dylan, and I just said, do you want to mix this, see what you can do? And it stands up against theirs as well, which is really cool, which is like a testament to him.
Don't hold me, 'cause I am falling back down, and I wouldn't wanna see you hit the ground. Little darling.
The production is definitely more restrained. The first version we did, it was kind of the drums and stuff started kicking in from the second chorus. From the first chorus, actually. And I just wanted to keep it really raw. Like, I felt like I had the big songs on the album, and I felt like I could sort of then start doing what was right for that song. I didn't need to... It's not going to be a single, in my opinion. It's just a great song I'm really proud of. I'm like, what's the best thing to do? And I think keeping it simple and letting the vocal do the work and the acoustic guitar and then building at the end, it's felt right.
Don't hold me, 'cause I am falling back down, and I wouldn't want to see you hit the ground. Little darling, you found my heart in the lost and found, but the scars, they still follow me around. They follow me around. I heard somebody knocking at the door, and I had a drink in hand, but I was looking for something more. When I put my eyes on you, I fell in love with you for the last time.
For the Last Time is one of my favourite songs on the album, and the first song that I ever wrote that wasn't terrible. And I mean that. I remember showing my friends and family and being like, yeah, this is as good as a song that I at least I thought that, you know, and I'm a very critical person, but, like, you know, the people that I looked up to, I thought, well, if they sung that, I would like this song. And I was like, okay, you know, maybe I can do this. And I think that's a very important thing for every artist, is to have that first song that makes you believe it's possible. And this was it for me. The chorus came into my head when I was walking in my car park at the time, maybe 5 years ago, actually. It was the oldest song on the album. And it was... the line was, the brighter that we shine leaves the bigger shadow in our wake. And that came into my head, and I took my phone out and started recording, and I sat in my car, and then I sat there until the rest of the song, the rest of the lines came out. So, the brighter that we shine leaves a bigger shadow in our wake.
The brighter that we shine leaves a bigger shadow in our wake.
A story we can tell another time.
Story we can tell another time.
But if this was love and I was wrong, then I'll admit the mistakes.
If this was love and I was wrong, and I'll admit the mistakes
that we made were always mine. And then I was like, okay, that's great. And then I went where I was going, and then when I got home, I started working on the rest of the song.
I told you to go left, then I went right. Ooh, I told you that I loved you. You couldn't tell I was lying, 'cause I put a spell on you. But I put my eyes on you,
for the last time.
I recorded this with Nick and Ed as well. It's I was worried about it. Like, I always get worried when I'm recording a song that's so old that I've played so many times doing the actual recording. Sometimes you change things as it progresses. But this song, when we recorded it, sounded really good. It's a really raw song, and I think one that could be a bit of a dark horse on the album as well. Like, it could be a song that does quite well in the sense of maybe it's not an obvious single, but I think people are going to connect with it because of the lyrics and because of, I think the production lends itself to sort of being that slow song, maybe like a Be Alright can kind of sneak up on us.
Please don't go.
So when we finished recording it, we sent it off to Michael Brower again because I thought how classic and warm the stuff that he does is. And the stuff that he did, for instance, with someone like James Bay or Tom O'Dell, I really liked what he did with that stuff. So I sent it to him and he made it sound really warm and classic. And when it came back, it just blew my mind and really happy with how that song turned out.
I was wrong to say I loved her. I was wrong to think I'm right. When I told her it was over, oh my darling, I had lied.
Half a Man is a very old song, probably around a little bit after I wrote For the Last Time. And it's a song that I actually, when I wrote the chorus in my bathroom, I knew it was amazing. I mean, I knew it was special because it just made my, the hairs on the back of my neck stick up. Like, I was really like, wow, okay, this feels like a very vulnerable, open and honest thing to say. And it was about feeling not good enough at the time, which I don't necessarily feel now, but at the time, that's how I felt. And also around that period, I was writing songs for other artists and I had this publishing deal. And when I wrote it, I was at this songwriting camp the next day. So I'd written it by myself and then I went to the songwriting camp and I was writing songs with other artists and for them. And after we finished, I was with this guy called John Hume and I said, he's like a producer writer. And I said, hey man, like I wrote this chorus. I think we could give it to another artist.
But how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And how can I give you all of me when I'm only half a man?
He's like, oh, that's wow. And then my friend Haley Warner was in the room as well. And we just kind of like finished the song. We were just like, and then as soon as I finished it, we all sort of went, yeah, no one else can sing this. It was just, it was so me. And it was, so it's a song that, I'm very proud of this song. It could have been given away. There was a lot of pressure for me to give it away, but I just thought I'd hold on to it. I always saw it as the song to close the album. And even though I didn't want to be the piano guy, because I realized that there's so many guys out there playing piano and acoustic guitar solo, like doing the singer-songwriter thing, really just like with no other instrumentation. I realized very early on I didn't really want to compete with that. And that's how I viewed it because there's so many people, that guy might have a better voice, that girl might play better than me. Like I wanted it to be bigger, but this is the one song I was like, it's the last track on the album. You can have a piano song. And it's how the song, when I play it live, my fans really, really like this song. It's one of their favorites.
When I'm only half a man.
So I put it on at the end and we recorded it with Nick and Ed again at a rainy day in England, in Hitchin. Like at the studio, our phones don't work. There's no one around because there's no reception out that way. Like there is, but you've got to stand in one spot. And I think it comes through. We spent a lot of time working on the piano, like getting the keyboard sounding right and looking for the right sounds to try to make it real. Yeah, it's a song that's probably the most vulnerable on there. I always feel a bit awkward singing it live on stage because it's so like, to say that's quite a brutal thing.
But how am I supposed to love you when I don't love who I am? And how can I give you all of me when I'm only half a man?
But it's a good song. So I believe in it.
'Cause I'm a sinking ship that's burning, so let go of my hand. Well, how can I give you all of me when I'm only half a man?
A Place We Knew is available now. For more info, head to deanlewismusic.com.
Mm-hmm.
Other Side of the Tracks is produced in Sydney, Australia, by U Music Media House, a subsidiary of Universal Music Australia. This episode was recorded and edited by the team at Forbes Street Studios in Woolloomooloo. For more, visit othersideofthetrackspod.com.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.